And the prophet Isaiah said, "By Yom Hahu, in that day it will be said, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." The Torah portion for this Shabbat during the middle of Passover, is called Parshat Pesach. And it describes a very serious encounter between Moses and God, in which God's favor is more fully revealed to Moses. In fact, Moses is wondering whether he can go on or not. And so he does something that's really important, and I think it will be helpful for some of you tonight when you're wondering, can you go on? Moses went to the Lord in that condition. He drew close to God, and he expressed himself to God. I want to ask the young people to be free to go out to their class with the Dexter houses. If you're a teen, you are welcome to go. Even if you're a visitor, you can just head out the back. Hop on a bus, Gus. You'll get to discuss much. All the children? All the children are now dismissed. Congratulations, children. There are times when you don't know if you can go on, and you can look for help everywhere. And believe me, there's value in counsel, is there not? The scripture says that in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. And there's value in reading the word and getting wisdom. There's value in so many things, but there are times when what you must depend on is an encounter with God. And you will not get the answers you need, and you will not get the strength you need, you will not get the change that you're looking for unless you come to God, no matter what it takes. It is always tempting to rely upon methods that have worked in times past, isn't it? Haven't you had the experience sometimes of fasting and praying and having breakthroughs? And then you learn, when I need a breakthrough, I'll just fast and pray. And then you fast and you pray, and nothing happens. And haven't you learned that when you were dry, it's because you weren't having that quiet time with God and reading His Word? And so you focus on reading the Word, right? And you become a dedicated student in the Word, and you begin to see things that transform your life, and you keep going, and then you get to this place where you don't get the answers you need through the Word. It's not that the Word has lost power. It's not that fasting and prayer has lost power. There are times when you know what I've got to do. I've got to worship the Lord. I've got to come into His presence at Shabbat, or I've got to gather and sing to Him with other people. And you seek places where you can do that. And that's good. It's good, because there are times when you're worshiping the Lord and He will visit with you and answer you and do everything through that you're actually looking for. But if you walk with God long enough, you'll discover that you can go worship the Lord and it can feel flat. And it's not that the heavens are brass, it's that nothing even gets up to that far. Nothing gets up to heaven when you're worshiping. We can become accustomed to using our methods based on what worked in times past. But I want to tell you something. God is not a God of methods, though He has principles. You cannot master methods in order to tame your God. Amen. And in order to get Him to answer the way that you want to. When God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, one of the things Moses wanted to know is, what's your name? Because if you knew the name of God, you could pray in a certain way that would guarantee an answer. Even to this day, among the Sephardim, the Jewish people who come from Arabic lands and Spanish-speaking lands and Mediterranean lands, they often go to their rabbis for a special prayer, a secret prayer that will be like the breakthrough. And sometimes it's more confidence in saying the right words than it is in God Himself. And we can be just like that. We can learn certain ways to draw close to the Lord or to get answers. It's not really drawing close to the Lord. It's trying to get answers because what we're looking for is relief for ourselves. We're looking for what we need in order to go on. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking what you need, but there's something powerful and instructive in the practice of Moses and what we see happening with Moses in this week's Torah portion in Exodus 33:12. Moses says to the Lord, "Look." You know, that's pretty intimate. "Look, you say to me, bring up this people, but you haven't let me know whom you will send with me. And yet you've said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." You see, Moses had heard something from the Lord. The Lord said, "I have an assignment for you, bring up this people." But there were some things unsaid. Moses didn't know who was going with him. You see, he needed certainty about this. And the question was not, is Aaron going with him? Because he knew that. And the question was not, are hundreds of thousands of Jewish people going with me, children of Israel who had just been in bondage? He knew that. The question was, will God Himself go with me? And Moses says, "You say that you know me by name, and that I found grace in your sight." Well, if that's true, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. Now there's something happening here with Moses that we need to see very clearly because it's very different from what we normally associate with grace and favor. Normally, we associate grace and favor with how God is going to treat me for my sake. Because we understand that this is God's kindness that I didn't deserve. It's His mercy that I haven't earned. It's unmerited favor. That's what grace is. That's how we understand it. But Moses is saying something very interesting. He's saying, if I have found grace in your sight, then consider that this nation is your people. If you really love me, if you really want me to fulfill this task, treat this nation with grace and favor. Show them the grace and favor that you have for me. Not for my sake, but for their sake. This is so important, and I hope it will help you change direction in some cases. Many times people go through a crisis of meaning, of purpose, even a crisis of endurance. How can I go on? And what we're really looking for is the strength for ourselves to do what brings meaning to ourselves and what brings purpose to ourselves and the ability to accomplish the things that we've set out to do, that we want to do. But Moses is not doing that. Moses is reorienting himself and he's showing us something about what favor is really designed for. Favor is not just forgiveness. So many people reduce favor to forgiveness. God, because of your favor, because of your grace, forgive me of my sins. And we use that forgiveness as an opportunity to not be rigorous with ourselves, to be slack with ourselves. He'll forgive me because of the blood of the Lamb. He will. He will forgive you because of the blood of the Lamb. But that is not what Moses is doing. Moses has already applied the blood of the Lamb. He's already gotten out. And he's gotten out with a purpose to bring the children of Israel into a condition where they will worship the Lord. And they will make it into the land of Israel and fulfill the covenant purposes that God has for the children of Israel. So Moses is showing us something. Favor is not to be hoarded. It's not meant for me. It's meant for me to receive in order to live well with God and with God's people. It's not just for you. Favor causes me to care about the well-being of others. If I found favor in your sight, consider that this nation is your people. Which nation? The one that made the golden calf. That's the nation he's speaking of. That's the time frame when he's speaking. Lord, if you have favor towards me, I want to see them included in your kingdom. Lord, if you have favor to me, I want to see them established as your people. Do you see how important this is? Do you see how this takes us in a different direction? From being people who just need grace to people who use grace for the sake of others. It transforms us from being simply people who need grace for ourselves. And we become people who show grace to other people. Now, when you show grace to other people, you know what you're doing? You're showing favor to people who don't deserve it. Ooh. Favor to people who don't merit it. Favor to people who haven't earned it. Why do I say that? It's not grace otherwise. It's just their wages. You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. You're a friend to me, I'm a friend to you. When you love your enemy, it's grace towards them. When you love someone who has mistreated you, it's grace. Why would you do that? Because God does that with you, right? And the one who is forgiven much then loves much if he uses grace in this way. Now, this kind of attitude towards grace causes us to desire good news for other people, not just good news for ourselves. So we're not just seeking the blessing for us, we're seeking blessings for other people. Grace is abundant, it's unlimited, it's not merited, it's not deserved, it's not earned. And it comes from God's very nature, which is infinite and limitless. Many of us think of blessings as very limited. You don't have a job, you hear someone else got a job, and you wonder why you weren't the one who got the job. You want to have a baby, someone else gets pregnant. Maybe they don't even want to. And you wonder, why is she pregnant? It should be me. You see, that's an attitude that says what blessings there are in life are so limited, if somebody else gets blessed, it's at my expense. But because God's grace and his favor proceeds from his infinite measure, his grace and his favor are not like a pie that gets sliced up into smaller and smaller pieces. The cure for Moses is not to know that he's going to be the most favored person on earth. The cure for him is to know that God is going with him. And that's what God says in verse 14. He says, my presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. These are some Pesach promises. Favor. It's a promise of Passover for those who seek the Lord. The presence of God is a promise for Passover for those who seek the Lord. Rest is another one. One of the definitions of that word for rest is to settle down. How'd you like to settle down and just not be stirred up in the wrong ways? You see, God says to Moses these things, and Yeshua says the exact same things. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Yeshua says, come to me, all of you who are weary and loaded down with burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Come into the presence of God. Because being in the presence of God is the source of rest. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here, Moses says. If you don't go with us, don't take us up. Us. Not just concerned for myself. How many people would like grace and favor to multiply in your lives? Here's the key for this season. Give it away. When grace and favor come to you, give it away. Don't hoard it. You know, we can become like little rats. You know, we find something good comes to us and it's like this little piece of cheese and we're just going to... And if another rat comes near and we're looking at each other like we're all a bunch of rats, what do you want? And while we're eating our little piece of cheese, we're eyeing each other to see, what do they have? Maybe they've got more cheese than they can guard. It's part of the mentality of these days. We've got to throw it off. We don't have to steal from each other. We don't have to hoard for ourselves. You know, I like to critique the prophets of the days, the business of the prophets. I'm not in that business, incidentally. But a number of the guys out there are saying, you know, something terrible is about to come, so make sure you've got your stockpiles. I have a different word. If something terrible is about to come, make sure you're used to giving things away. Because people will need help. Give away my little cheese? Yeah. Give it away. You've got to be kidding. No, I'm not. Moses needed to know how to be stable for the future, and he found the answer. It was not in being concerned for himself. It was in being concerned for the things that really move the heart of God, and taking into his heart the things that move God's heart, and then allowing those things to rule over him. And when you take that position, you know what? Stuff doesn't rule you. And you may find that your stuff comes and goes. It goes up and down. It's not fixed. How many people thought their stuff was fixed for a while? Right? It's not, is it? Stuff goes like this, up and down. When you can learn to be happy without stuff and with stuff, then you can have stuff and it won't rule over you. And you can give stuff away and it won't make you feel miserable. But the main thing is, it's not about stuff. It's about us and God. And I say to you, there are some of you tonight who just need to go into the presence of God and to get a word from the Lord, not from somebody else. Don't have someone just pray for you and tell you the answer. That's tempting. I've done it many times. I once went to Chicago to be with a great group of men of God. And I told my wife, because I needed a word from the Lord, I needed direction. And I went, and these men knew I needed a word from God in order to know how to proceed for the rest of my life. I was at such a turning point. And I said, Sandy, I'm going to get that word. And I'll never forget the feelings I had flying back home. How was I going to explain to her the word I got? Because here's the terrible word that I received. It was this: you need to hear from God. Yeah, you're laughing now. I wasn't laughing. I went up there because I had to hear from God. And I needed one of them to tell me what the Lord was saying. And they did. It made me miserable. I've never been as hopeless as I was on that plane. I flew all the way up here because I needed to hear from the Lord. And they tell me I need to hear from God. I told them. But there was a point when I was flying back in my misery without any hope, without any explanation, when that word took hold of me. And I understood that was the word that I needed from them. I needed to hear from God. And you know what went with that? I could hear from God. I would hear from God if I kept pressing into Him and not into something else. And I did press into Him. And I did hear from Him. And it did change the direction of my life. Some of you need to hear from God. But you don't need to hear it. You don't need to hear what you need to hear from somebody else. And there are times when you do need to hear from somebody else. But there are some of you in this room, you just need to press into God and do everything that it takes. Don't use just your methods. Press into Him. Come to Him and talk honestly. Come to Him without any time limits. Come to Him and just be open with Him and talk clearly with Him, and don't leave until He says something. Even if you have to come 30 times, 50 times, 100 times, whatever it takes. And I tell you what, God will answer you. And when He does, you'll know that He'll go with you. And it will settle everything. And then you'll understand that you're in the company of Israel, which has pressed into God and waited on the Lord and seen His salvation, and having heard from Him, moved faithfully and saw His victories. That's for Passover. That's for us right now. Let's pray. Lord, we need You. We want You. We will take time to seek Your face. We will wait for You, Lord. This is our God for whom we've waited, that He might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Renew us, Lord. Renew us, Lord, that we would receive Your grace and Your favor, not for ourselves, but for your purposes and your people. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Let's close now with a prayer that I've been enjoying using. It's called Ve'ne'emar. It's from Zechariah 14:9. Ve'ne'emar v'haya Adonai l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yom ha'hu yiyeh Adonai echad u'shmo echad. It has been said, the Lord will be king over all the world. In that day, the Lord will be one, and his name one. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? No one stand alone. Right now, there are some people who are saying, I don't think I can hear from God. I just want to say to you, that's not true. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, who knows Yeshua is Adonai, everyone who's turned from sin and come to Yeshua, who died and became the sacrifice for you and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sends His Holy Spirit to you, everyone who receives the Spirit of God because of Yeshua can hear from the Lord and be led by the Lord. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you His chen, His grace, His favor, not just for your sake, but for the sake of others. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you shalom, in rest, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Shabbat shalom.